If the leaders do not kneel down before God in prayer, you only have Christianity, not revival. You only have a measure of Christianity, but not revival. We need to kneel down before God together as leaders and make it to be so. And the church will be different. Think about it, pastors, and be very honest with me. How long since your leaders have prayed together? Maybe they only met in your committee meeting. Maybe they only met in your general meeting. But how long since they have prayed together? Maybe they absent themselves from the prayer meeting, and only a few of those full-fledged intercessors are there, or your main leaders are absent. We need to do something before it's too late. And that's the third thing, that prayer needs to be submitted to Christ's authority, and at the same time, it needs to flow to those in authority. We know this in chapter 3, the second key in a ministry coming forth. In chapter 3, he tells us the qualifications of bishops and deacons. Basically, bishops are those who do the spiritual ministry, and deacons are those who do the natural ministry. Taking examples from the book of Acts, chapter 6, where they select 7 diaconias, which are deacons. Same word for deacons. And taking the example from the word bishop, and we find that is mentioned when they select someone to replace Judas Iscariot, and they chose Matthias for his bishop's office. And Old King James said bishopric. And we recognize that that was a spiritual position. Yet both qualifications depend on the family life. So the second important key in the training and the beginning of a minister is his family life. A family life is an important key. If the preacher has unforgiveness against his own father, there will be something peculiar or rather lopsided about him in his ministry. If the preacher does not have a good relationship with his wife, there will be something funny about the way the preacher behaves and ministers throughout his ministry. If the preacher doesn't know how to take care of his own children and bring them up, either he's too domineering in his own to his own children, then definitely he must be too domineering to the sheep, the flock, whom he serves. So whatever is in the family life will be reflected in his ministry life. The family life of every preacher is precious. And there are many preachers who neglect their family life, and they literally place their family on the altar and forgot to feed them, forgot to take care of them, forgot to spend time with them. And the devil just comes and he destroys their ministry from the inside. Their family. Why family is important and family life is important? Number one, it's in the family life that we see here in the qualification, it develops character. Character. Whether you're a good man or a bad man comes from your character in a family. So that's number one. It's not just gifts that are important. Of all the qualifications, you find that gifts are not mentioned because gifts are easy to move into once you know the Holy Spirit, know how to move into it. But character is what is more stable. That can keep your gift going. So it develops, number one, character. Number two, you notice that among all these descriptions that are there in the family, we notice here that it's in the family that you develop. Number one is develop character. Number two is develop personal relationship. Although it's related to character, it's put in a different point. Because character are things like long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. And the second point, relationship, are what I call the skills of relationship. And when God touches your life and you learn to love your own family, who is your own neighbor, closest to you, and you, there are skills. Just like when I learn to relate to my children or learn to relate to my wife, and I could relate properly, I am able to relate to others. And there are skills involved in learning all those things. And some of you in your mind may be thinking, what happens if a minister is single? Well, he came from some family somewhere. Right? He came from some family somewhere. What happens if he's an orphan? Well, somebody must have brought him up. He may have a nuclear family. Right? So he may not have his own little family unit. He may be a celibate, but he would have belonged somewhere. And somewhere still. Maybe he was an orphan. Alright, then he has adopted guardians or parents. That becomes his family. So those skills are still important. And so second is we develop keys in relationship. It's important to break through there. The third point here in the family here is notice here is holding the key and emphasis is holding on to the faith. So the third area here is what we call a good word for that is I'm trying to find the right description. Reality. Well, is that strong enough? Or sincerity. Or to make it understandable, I put it a lack of hypocrisy. You can try to put on a plastic mask to everybody, but you cannot deceive your own family. They know you for who you are. They know what time you get up, what time you sleep. You can bluff others that you pray at 4 a.m., but your family knows you woke at 8 a.m. See, what do I mean? Understand the third point. Is there is not much room for deception. Because you're living so close to each other. You know your weaknesses, you know your strength. In other words, you can't hide. You develop a transparency. That perhaps that's a word. In a family relationship, you learn to develop transparency. You learn not to hide, but you learn to deal with problems that come forth. Which is why when people get married, a lot of problems come out in the adjustment period. And they learn to be transparent so that they could deal with those things that they begin to see. It's only in a family relationship that those things come in. See, there are some people that are very hard to live with. And they don't know that they're hard to live with. Until they live with somebody else. And that somebody else tells them. And then they realize. If they have been living by themselves all the time, everybody will think there's a very good fellow. But when they live under the same roof, all their manners came out. Right? All the bad things in their life comes out. But you never know that before. In chapter 4, the first point is prayer. Second point is the family life. In the fourth point, is balance of spirit and body. Notice in chapter 4, Paul talks about food. Then he talks about godly exercise profited unto all things, but physical exercise profit little. At least there's a profit of a little. Then he talks about not neglecting the gift of God that is given to him by the laying on of hands of the presbytery, the prophecy. Hold fast to that. So here he talks about two areas. And that is a struggle many ministers have, many Christians will have. Trying to balance the spiritual with the natural. And a lot of people go out of balance. They either go so far in the spirit that they neglect natural laws and natural responsibilities. I mean, there are some people who live by faith. They don't pay income tax. They don't declare their income. They don't keep proper records. They don't give proper filing. They don't give proper receipts. They don't have their accounts properly audited by a qualified auditor. In fact, they don't submit accounts. It's wrong. It's a bad testimony. And say, live by faith.
It's wrong to do that.
And then there are people who claim that God told them to just travel and minister, and then they neglect a lot of natural responsibility. Natural responsibility that they should take care, and as a result, I find that sometimes somebody else is doing that for them, and it becomes a burden for them. Perhaps it's their car, or they always let somebody do all the job, and it's their spiritual. Perhaps the person does it out of their good heart. But I believe in this life, we all have natural responsibilities. If you own a car, you must be responsible to take care of it. If somebody helps to take care of it, do you pay that person? At least do you express or compensate the person's time? No doubt people like to serve you or help you in the ministry, but don't take it for granted. They also have their own time. They also have to make their living. We need to understand. Some people are so super spiritual, or rather pseudo spiritual, that their nature is not balanced. Just not balanced at all. And they don't have proper sleep times. And they just pray, go so deep in the spirit. And then every time you come by their house, they're sleeping in the daytime. Why? 9 hours. No social time. No fellowship time at all. And they're just one-sided. And that's an extreme. Yet some people, they go too much to the natural. And I know men of God who die because they didn't take care of their diet. No matter how spiritual you are, if you keep on eating prawn meat for 10 years, you can pray in tongues over your prawn meat. You may get away with it for some time, but you don't get away forever. Some men of God, they preach by the Spirit and by their Coca-Cola. And some men of God, they keep awake studying the Bible by pots and pots of coffee, black coffee. The darker, the better. Right? Unknowingly, they get addicted. And then they go about saying, I'm studying the Word. God will protect me. Right? Yeah, but the Word tells you to take care of yourself. So these are extreme examples of what I call, when a man of God doesn't know how to balance natural and spiritual, they are in trouble. Like natural, as for example, if we organize a seminar like this, we must understand there are natural procedures, there are natural laws. Some men of God, when God called them to a country, they don't go by natural, proper, legal laws. They just go in. How did they go in? Where's your passport? Not even chopped. So, they do things illegally. It's not right. One day, when the law comes to them, and then there will be a bad testimony for the rest of us. They will make the rest of us look like crooks. Because people will think every Christian is like them. But that's not true. Just like right now, there's some guy somewhere in the States, some madman, who's giving a bad testimony to the name David. David is such a nice man. Right. Some crazy man out there. And everybody will think that all Christianity is like that. Because people who don't balance the spiritual with the natural, that's the third area that will destroy a person. But that's important in developing a ministry. In chapter 5, which is the fourth key, in any ministry, choosing the right leaders. It will destroy or it will build you up. I did not give the sub points in the balance of natural and spirit, but I just say them out. They are: number one, understand spiritual laws; number two, understand natural laws; and then number three, understand the balance of them. You got no choice, you got to understand it. For example, if God asks you to plant a church, You don't just simply go and start a church. You've got to understand all the spiritual laws in planting the church. You've got to understand all the natural legal laws that are required to get a church started. And then you balance up both.